peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up, multiple people told my sister that she was melodramatic. Now, my sister didn't really know what melodrama was, but she took it as a compliment and kind of a badge of honor. After all, she was the youngest, and isn't the youngest supposed to overreact and be dramatic and be kind of the class clown? She didn't know what melodrama was, really, until we went to a play at the Showboat. You might remember the Showboat, which was the paddle boat docked at Harriet Island in St. Paul that the University Theater Department did a play each summer. And it was in the form of a melodrama, that 1920s form of overly dramatic play with a villain, a mystery. And suddenly she understood melodrama. That was her thing. Everything was way, way, way over the top. She got it. I bring this up not because of the boat and the water, although that does tie into Jonah too. I bring it up because Jonah is like a short novel in the form of melodrama. Everything about Jonah is over the top. First of all, Jonah is asked by God to go to Nineveh, and instead he runs away to Tarshish. Now that alone, getting to say Nineveh and Tarshish is reason enough to talk about Jonah. But it gets better. He runs away thinking God won't see him or catch him. Right, that's not how God operates. Then he jumps on a ship, and this huge storm comes up. And he knows that there's only one reason for the storm, and it's because he ignored God. The only reason for the storm. And he convinces the sailors of this and gets them to throw Jonah overboard. And the storm stops immediately. Not like the rain lightens up and finally the sun comes out, but immediately the storm is over. So that was the reason. This sounds a little like a farce, doesn't it? And he doesn't have to swim to shore, and he doesn't drown there in the middle of the ocean because he's swallowed by a great big fish, or whale, as we sometimes say. And he doesn't die inside the fish like you might think he would. But instead, he spends 3 days thinking and praying, kind of on biblical time out. And then he gets spit out, as we demonstrated last week. And that's where we pick up the story for today. Now, I think the great big fish is really there just to show us how even more over the top this story gets. Because Jonah finally listens and goes to Nineveh. And it is such a big city, it takes 3 days to walk across it. And he has only walked 1 day out of the three. And he speaks 8 words. And not only do people hear the words, they listen to the words, and they act, and they repent, and God forgives them. 8 words. We should elect this guy to public office. This is effectiveness. And all of this before the invention of social media. It's a little over the top. This is the chapter that they leave out of the children's story. Because after Jonah gets spit out of the fish, what fun is it after that? Jonah listens? What kind of a story is that? The Bible, though, is full of prophets. And most of the prophets, like Jonah, are really reluctant to go and tell people something that those people don't want to hear. Now, most prophets don't have the success that Jonah has. Everybody listens? Wow. And yet, this story is God's way of telling us something, of saying that there are things that are out of whack with society. There are things going on that God doesn't like. There are things going on in human behavior that are not sustainable. It makes me wonder, are there prophets in our midst now? Sure, there's lots of media, and there are politicians, and there's things on the internet saying, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, doom and gloom. But are there true prophets? people who are saying, look at the beauty of God's creation and all that has been entrusted to us as humans. And what are we doing to pollute it and ruin the climate and cause climate change and global warming? Are there people who are saying, God has given us so many resources that we can feed everybody? Why do people go hungry? Why are people homeless? Are there people out there who are saying, God's message is very simple. Love God and love your neighbor. And yet look at the hatred, the violence, the wars, the shootings, the way that we have been treating immigrants and refugees who are running away from terrible situations, coming to this country wanting a better life, just like our parents or grandparents or great-grandparents did. And yet we're detaining them in prison-like situations, not treating them humanely. Are there people who are calling us to action in all of these areas? This week in the news, I heard a story that was very hopeful. You may have heard it too, about a Swedish girl named Greta. Last fall, when she was 15, Greta refused to go back to school with her classmates, and instead she went on strike. She sat outside the Swedish parliament every day for 2 weeks, and she was doing it because she said that what good does it do to go to school and learn about science and the environment and global warming when people don't really listen, when people don't act on these things? When the lawmakers, the policymakers, the people who could do something, don't do anything. She got the Swedish government's attention. She got the world's attention. She got more than 2 million teenagers to take up the cause of climate change. And she was in the news again this week. Now at 16, she's taking a sabbatical year from school. I didn't know 16-year-olds got to take sabbaticals. But apparently she is, and she's coming to the United States for a year to continue spreading her message. She is going to a global climate summit in New York City and another one in Santiago, Chile, where she will have the opportunity to dialogue with people who can make change happen. However, her trip almost didn't happen because she has read everything there is to know about climate change. And she has taught her parents many things and convinced them that flying has a huge carbon footprint. And so now her family doesn't fly. And then she researched cruise ships, and they have almost as big a carbon footprint. So that wasn't an option. And she didn't know how she could get to North America. Finally, an organization with a yacht offered to sail her to New York. And she has just embarked on that journey and will be here shortly. Somebody like Greta gives me hope because she's not doing it for her own economic gain. She's not doing it to be elected to political office. She is not doing it for selfish reasons. She is looking out for the good of her generation, for the good of the world and future of this planet for others. There are other things that are also hopeful. Last week, the ELCA had its triennial, every 3 year, gathering of the churchwide assembly. And one of the things that the church did was to declare itself a sanctuary church. Now, lots of congregations have done this related to immigration, but the ELCA is the first church body to say that we are here to look out for the good of immigrants and refugees. Now, I often wonder, when a group of really nice people like Lutherans get together in a big room and say, hey, we're for this, does it matter? Does it actually do anything? And that is a really good question to ask about all sorts of issues. But in this case, the news media picked it up. You might have heard about it on local or national news. And Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, who was just reelected, was criticized for the church being too political. And she passionately explained that this is not a political issue. This is a biblical issue because God says to love our neighbors. At Vacation Bible School this week, we had several stories that involved outsiders or foreigners. One was the Good Samaritan, and you know, in that story, a man is hurt in need of help by the side of the road, and two people, including a priest, pass by and don't help. It is the foreigner, the Samaritan, the most unlikely candidate who stops to help. We also had the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers, and only one of them, the foreigner, the Samaritan, the outsider, returned to say thank you to Jesus. And there are many, many stories in the Bible. In the book of Ruth, she's a Moabite, an outsider, who was welcomed into the community of Bethlehem. And she is an ancestor of Jesus. Jesus also has foreign roots, as probably all of us do. God embraces differences. God tells us to love our neighbors, and not just those who look like us, who act like us, who think like us, who are easy to love, but to love all of our neighbors. And that is what this statement of being a sanctuary church is about. Lutherans also got attention this week as the head of Lutheran Social Service, Jody Harpstead, was named to be the new Minnesota Commissioner of Human Rights. Human Services, yes. I need to get my facts straight. And so she is taking some of what she has done and her passions from the nonprofit of Lutheran Social Service that lives out these values that we are espousing, that God has given to us, and taking them into the public sector. This is an exciting time. All of these things give me hope. Hope that we are listening to God and acting on it. Because we are not all called to be Greta, the 16-year-old, who is going to global conferences to change the world. But we are called to listen, to pay attention, to look out for the good of our neighbor. As you know, we've just finished our intensive week of Vacation Bible School, and we weren't changing the world by any means, but we were building relationships. We had 13 kids and 14 youth leaders who came together each day, and we learned Bible stories and sang songs and did art projects and science projects and played together and ate together and built those relationships. And I was really proud of our youth leaders. They set aside their phones and electronics. They sat on the floor. They talked one-on-one to the kids. They built relationships. They helped make these stories our own. The youth leaders would do a skit of the story each day, and before they were barely done with it, the elementary age kids were saying, "I want to be that part. I want to be the bad guy. I want to be the king." And they put on the costumes, and they read the script, and they made that story their own. They are understanding and hearing God's story. They are making this a part of their lives. Just like Jonah was able to have people hear, we too, in big ways and small ways, through our actions, through our words, are showing people God's love and care. We are standing up for things that we see that are unsustainable. We are standing up for neighbors and immigrants and refugees. We are caring for the hungry and the homeless and this world entrusted to us. And God wants that for us. God gives a second and third and 79th and 738 chances and more because God loves us. Amen.